In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Kurt Ryle, songwriter and multi-instrumentalist, who's the drummer in the Highland Park, New Jersey band, The Gripweeds. Their latest album, Soulbender, is out on Gem Records, and that title track is a recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear it now, followed by my chat with Kurt on our coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Manfred here with you in Little Stephen's Underground Garage for another Coolest Conversations. My chat today is with multi-instrumentalist Kurt Ryle, best known as the drummer and singer in the Gripweeds from New Jersey. Their latest album for Gem Records is Soulbender, and that title track is also this week's coolest song in the world. How are you, Kurt?
I'm great. How you doing, Manfred?
I'm doing pretty excellent. Very happy to be chatting with you. Again, you know, we saw each other just a few months back, and I greeted you with an ahoy matey, because you were there on the cruise, the Underground Garage cruise this year. So what was that experience like for you guys?
Oh, man. Well, we were pirates, weren't we? We were pirates.
I heard you saying R, in fact.
But yeah, I did, probably, when you guys were playing, as you jumped over me one night. No, it was incredible, actually, I have to say, for a lot of reasons, because number one, we're among our people, you could say, They're the audience, the cruise fellow cruisers, were all people that love garage rock and love this kind of music. And, you know, and we're a part of that. The Gripweeds is a part of that subset of sound. And it was really great to, you know, to be with all these people that had a like-minded sort of vision or vibe. And then also to connect with them And I think that's what was so great, because we've been on the air with the Underground Garage for many years. But this was one of the first times we really got to meet the listeners, you know, en masse, you know what I mean? And it was, we learned a lot just by, you know, how we're being received and how people are kind of getting into what we do. So I thought it was really fantastic for us to do. Also, we debuted our new album here at Soulbender. We debuted that on the cruise.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the first time we got to play these songs live in front of people. And you know how it is, if you play new music live, you really, it's, you're on the high wire because you really don't know what's going to happen. It could go any way. You don't know. It's really up to the moment how this song is going to go over or how these songs are going to go over. And I have to say, we did incredibly well. The songs went over great, especially considering people hadn't heard them. So we were really happy to, number one, to be on the cruise, but number two, to be debuting new music to this audience.
Well, I was wondering about that. So about getting on the cruise, was there, I can't remember, something about Mark Lindsay was supposed to perform on the boat. Were you guys originally going to back Mark?
Yeah, we would have been absolutely out of our minds if we did that, because we had all this work to do with new Gripweeds music, and then we were working on a whole set of Mark Lindsay songs that were mostly Raiders songs, and I was the musical director for the show, so I was working with him on the set of songs, and we had a very good show that we were going to do, and unfortunately we couldn't do it, but Mark was there with us in spirit.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year he can, because I think it was a health related thing, right? Was he ill right beforehand or something?
Yeah, he's got something going on with an ankle that, stops him from doing his patented kicks on stage. If anybody's ever seen Mark Lindsay, he kicks really high.
In fact, he's more kicks than a Kung Fu convention.
Yeah, you could say that. But they're not violent. They're not violent. They're with love.
They are with love. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk some about Soulbender. You spoke about getting to debut that on the boat. It's out on Gem Records. How many albums do you guys have with Gem now?
Oh boy, let's see. I think this might be number 5.
Wow. Okay.
We did How I Won the War, then we did Trip Around the Sun, then we did Dig, and now it's number 4. I think it's number 4. Yeah.
And am I correct in assuming that you did it at your House of Vibe studio?
Oh, of course. Yes. That's where we record.
And let's plug the studio again here for a moment, because this is a family business, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. It certainly started that way. I would say it was a band business really, because we started out making demos for our own use, you know, and then we wound up going to studios and really not connecting with the people we were working with, and we decided we kind of liked our demos better, so we decided to put our time and money into developing our demo studio into something that we can make records with, and that worked out to be such a good thing to do, considering if you think about the DIY aspect of music production these days. It sort of gave us that, you know, we exist in this DIY, yet we're a commercial studio business. So we're kind of a little of both, you know, but we have this sort of, we understand what it is to make a record by yourself, you know, and have to deal with that and how to make that happen, you know, and make it good.
Well, who all over the last 2 years have you recorded there at House of Vibes?
Well, actually, I start with the Smithereens. I've done a lot of work with those guys over a long period of time. And actually, we're doing something with them now. I can't say what it is. that's for them. But been working with them for a long time. And it's interesting with those guys, because they started out as our mentors. And
oh wow. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and we kind of looked at them as like, wow, this is what we could do, you know, in music, because they were from the same town, New Brunswick, New Jersey. And then we became friends. And then I did some work with Jim Babjack, the guitar player, in a band called Buzz Meg. And then I started producing them and working with them. And that was a real joy. And it still is. But I've also, I record a lot of the bands that are on Gem Records, like the Anderson Council. Let's see, who else? The Sins I've been working with recently. The Midnight Callers I've done a lot of work with. Another Underground Garage favorite.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot. I'm leaving out a lot of people, and I don't mean to do that. Anybody who's listening.
Well, with the studio being so an ongoing concern and being active, does that make it difficult for you guys to do your own stuff? And there, what I'm getting at here is, like the new album, are you recording that in bits and pieces as time becomes available, or did you book a, you know, just a straight up week and just do a long session or something like that? Or how did the album come together?
Well, we do have to work. We have to book ourselves into our own studio. That's true. And I feel like I tell this to people a lot now. And I feel like a plate spinner. You know, those guys that have holes and they, you know, they're spinning all these plates and
right.
How do they do that? You know, and that's kind of what I do. I'm spinning all these projects all at once, and I you know, focus on that one over there, and then I got to go back to that one real quick, you know. But with the Gripweeds, we try to give ourselves enough time to do what we need to do. But I do find that I like to work over a period of time rather than, you know, real condensed and kind of really knock ourselves out in a short period of time. Yeah. You don't get as much perspective that way. I do like to do that per song. Kind of work through the song and follow it to its conclusion. That I do like to do. But, you know, with the album, I like to have a little bit of perspective on it and kind of build it and listen to the rough mixes and go out and take a bike ride and listen and go, oh, yeah, I hear this sound or, you know, that sound. And maybe Rick could do that and Kristen could play that guitar part. And I get a lot of ideas just listening. And you can't do that if you're in the fever of record production.
In fact, so the new album, 12 songs on it, the material itself, is that all the songs more recent or these songs, or do some of this, is it a mixture of songs that go back a number of years in their origin?
That's a good question, Manfred. And I have an answer. We actually first started recording this album during the pandemic, right okay. at the start. It was like March of 2020. And here we are. Hey, let's make a new album. And, so we recorded like 3 basic tracks, Kristen and I, because everybody was barred from working together. And we realized we didn't want to do the album long distance because of the original songs being, we had to build them up. And I maybe I'm old fashioned, but I do like the contact in the studio.
Yeah.
People working together, you record a track and then you go, hey, maybe we can add that little guitar flourish or what about this? What about that? You know, and I think the guitar part or whatever part you're recording always gets better when you've got a few ears listening, a producer and the performer, you know, kind of birthing this thing. And you can't do that long distance, really. It's hard to do that. It takes a lot of time. You kind of got to go back and forth on email or, you know, message to get that to happen. It's not the same. So we did start the album that long ago, but we stopped because of that reason. We took a left turn and went into covers, and we did the Dig record. And in doing the Dig record, we learned a whole lot about garage rock, really about how concise these songs are. These great songs that were written in the 60s or whenever, you know, just how direct, simple, hard hitting, all those things. And then when we were working with them, you know, making them our own, we learned a few things about, you know, how to really make these songs deliver, you know. So that production of Dig influence, once we got back to this new album, which we did right after, actually, we did a project in between that isn't out yet, and I can't talk about that either. And then we did a whole bunch of Gem Celebrates,
right.
various artists, also covers. We kind of got a little covered out, and we wanted to get back to our own music. So it's like, oh, yeah, remember those songs we were doing back in 2020? In the meantime, I had written another five, and Rick and I were working on some. And then we had some old, old songs, because the record actually changed. The idea of what we were going to put out changed a little bit. We were thinking maybe we'll put out some old songs and re-record them. Not songs that, well, actually we did She Brings the Rain and Strange Bird, which we had already released years and years ago. And we were thinking, oh, we'll do that. And then we thought, no, this is a, let's make this a new album of, you know, songs no one's heard. And, you know, even the old songs that we did on here, like Someone in Love, for instance, is a song, what was my first song. I rewrote it. I rewrote a good portion of it to make it comfortable for me now, and also more direct and more potent.
McCurt, let me interrupt here for a second, because you said this Someone in Love, that's your first song. You mean the first out of the ones on the album that was written, or how do you mean first song?
Oh, that was my first song ever.
The first song you ever wrote?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, that's killer. In fact, I was going to ask you about that, you know, as we're going along here, but wow. Yeah, that's great. Well, when did you write? How old were you when you wrote the song?
I was 21. And, you know, is that it just, I don't know where it came from. I was listening to a lot of Hollies music, the Hollies.
Yeah.
I was really into it. It was right when the band was starting, the Gripweeds. And we were kind of modeling ourselves after British Invasion stuff and, you know, the obscure Holly stuff and the Zombies and those kind of bands, Birds. And that's really never left us. We're still, we got that sort of, it's deep in our soul now. But that song I wrote and put it away because we couldn't play it and we couldn't record it. It just never worked out. And I always liked it. But as I got older and as more time went on, I felt that the song was becoming less of something I could sing now at my ripe old age. whatever. I'm not 21, let's put it that way. And I didn't feel comfortable singing these teenage lyrics. So I rewrote the song, and it felt so much better now, like, to do that. And then just reworked it with all of our experience now, having done all this music and all this production, and putting that to my first song was really, like, something amazing that I think is great. And that has been played on the Underground Garage, so I have heard it on your station.
Yeah, well, let's drill down on some of the other tracks on the album. We'll start with the coolest song in the world this week, title cut, Soul Bender. It's also the opening track. My understanding is that you guys use a Soul Bender fuzz pedal on the recording. So how does that tie into the song? How does that tie into the song's inspiration?
Well, I had written the song, like a lot of songs come to me when I'm running. Or doing exercise or something, motion. I've heard Bob Dylan talk about that, like something about a train inspires you, the motion of the, you know, rolling or something. So I wrote this. I happened to write this song after a bicycle ride, and I thought the whole thing up in my head. I had a sound picture. I came in really fast, and like, I better put it in my phone before I forget it. So I did that, and then the next step is, I better figure out what this song actually is. Now I have to make it into a music. So I got to put a guitar to it. Now I have to figure out if the chords are going to work. And so I'm playing the guitar, electric guitar, and I look down at my feet, and there's a Soul Bender pedal by Fulltone. It's a fuzz. It's really like a tone bender, a fuzz pedal. Very, very cool sound. And we use it a lot on the Soul Bender album. But I look down, I'm like, you know, in my getting the song down, in my fever of trying to get this song down, I'm just singing, oh, she's my soul bender, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll fix that later. I'll change it. You know, the rest of the lyrics were literally la, la, na, 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 you know? And so I play the song to Kristen and I said, well, you know, this is all just, you know, dummy lyrics and we're going to fix all that. She goes, oh, no, you won't. That Soul Bender is great. And we kind of started to realize what it was about. And what we wrote, what I eventually wrote the song about, was the experience of playing live. We had a really great show in New York a couple of years ago. And I just felt it. Like there's something about, you know how it is, Manfred, when you play live, there's an energy that you get. There's something happens in the room, electricity. there's a flow of energy, of info. And, you know, there's something about it that's really spiritual in a way. And I think everybody in a band wants to bend people's souls. You know, you want to really affect them, you know? And so that's what I wound up writing the song about, playing live, how it feels to do that. And, you know, actually bending somebody's mind or soul, you know, is really kind of a goal to do that. And hopefully this album, maybe we'll do it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a great explanation for the tune, man. Bending people's souls. Yeah. Oh, so as you were talking about, what was it, Someone in Love, about the Hollies thing, kind of picturing, you know, being into the Hollies then, and also the Zombies, kind of this British invasion era, 60s stuff. That second cut on the album, Flowers for Cynthia, that's, to me, certainly has a Zombies lilt to it, you know, maybe it's because of the keyboards and some minor chords kind of in into that. How did Flowers for Cynthia come together?
That one's got a really long history with us. That's from the batch of songs like Someone in Love that came from a long time ago. Half the album is brand new. And then there were some older songs. And this song came from the bass player in the Insomniacs, Dave Wojciechowski.
Yes, the Wojciechowski brothers, Bob and Dave.
Yeah, you got it. Love them.
And their mother was Little Steven's music teacher.
Oh, no way.
Yes, way. That's the truth. Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I've never heard that. That's amazing. So those guys, we started out when we were, you know, 21 or whatever. Back in the dawn of Group Weed's history, we're playing shows in New Jersey and New York. And we kind of got into a little rhythm with those guys. Yeah. And they were checking us out, and they liked us, you know, and we loved them. So one night we're playing a show in New Brunswick, and Dave comes up to me and he says, "Hey, listen, I wrote you guys a song, and here's the tape. Maybe you want to try it out." And we were just like, wow, kind of knocked out that this guy wrote a song for us, because we had barely started writing our own. So we were just getting into that whole thing of writing songs, of how do you do it. And here he is, he's presenting me with this demo. I'm like, wow, you know? So I put it on, and we were so naive back then and kind of really inexperienced. We listened to the song, and it was in this low key, "Cynthia smiles and turns away." I'm like, wow, you know, my 21-year-old voice, I don't think I could sing it. So we couldn't figure out that, you could use the capo, you just change the key to sort of get it into the right spot.
Yeah.
So we tried in vain a couple of times to play this song live, and we're singing down, you know, in our shirts, and we just couldn't do it. So we kind of forgot about the song. And that's what happens. If a song doesn't work, you kind of go, well, you know, we'll deal with that later, and on to the next one. And it turned out it was like decades go by. And during the pandemic, somehow or another, I mean, the pandemic was a terrible thing, no question, but it did allow people like me some time to reflect and write songs and think about stuff and not have so much, you know, outside stimulus going on. So I don't know what made me think of it, but I thought, what about that old song? And I pulled it out. I remembered it, actually. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, if we just change the key, maybe this will work this time. So I changed the key. I'm like, wow, I think I got it. So I did a phone demo. I sent it to Dave. I said, hey, I finally cracked it. You want to do it with me? Maybe we'll do an Insomniac's Grip Weeds. He goes, no, man, I wrote the song for you guys. You got the studio, you do it. So I'm like, okay. But at the time we were doing Dig. So I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to do this for this. And actually, when I arranged the song, I changed it significantly, and I also wrote an end coda to it, because the original song didn't have the title, Flowers for Cynthia, in it. And I added that into the end and sort of wound up, you know, the song really took off when we started making this new album and we're working on which songs we're going to do. And everybody liked the demo I did of Flowers for Cynthia. Kristen's like, we got to do it. And I have a guitar part. So I'm like, well, all right, let's do it. I'll do anything that people are into, you know?
Yeah.
So that one wound up at the front of the pile. And, you know, we got very creative with it. And we realized, oh, this song is about a very weird girl. Very, very, this guy can't reach, the guy who wrote the song, Dave Woj is writing maybe about himself, can't reach this person. Whatever he does, it doesn't work. And she's kind of odd. So I thought, well, let's make the song about that. It's odd. She's odd. And, you know, do some things we wouldn't normally do. And so that's why we got this verse where the drums drop out. We do a little synthesizer pad, which we would never have done ever until this record, where we feel like, why not? You know, we're trying to, we're painting with sound now. Let's just, let's make this really cool, you know? So that's what we did. And that's how it came out. And another song that really works live now. So it just took time. We needed the time to get that song to work.
Yeah, it had to percolate a while.
It did. Sometimes songs do, you know? They don't, it's not always like, oh yeah, I got it, boom, out. Sometimes you got to reflect, you know? And sometimes you don't. A song like Conquer and Divide, I knew it when I wrote it, and which I wrote it very recently. I was like, okay, I know what this song is going to do. It was based on having done Dig. I'm like, all right, I know exactly what to do. 1, 2, 3, we had it, done, you know? And other songs you have to fight for.
Well, let me ask you about Fragmented. It's got this cool kind of vocal part at the top of the song, the ending of the song. It certainly catches your attention. Who wrote that?
Well, that was mostly from Rick, my brother Rick. I helped him out with some lyrics, but it's essentially his song. And that came, that another song that can't, had a very long gestation, because we had done a demo for that years ago, just a backing track. It existed with no melody. It was just two guitars, bass, drums on a tape. And I pulled up the tape. I'm like, Rick, you got to finish this. I just have a feeling about this song.
Yeah.
And I was kind of referencing the Mothers of Invention, Trouble Every Day, you know, where he's just kind of ranting about everything on that song. You know, Frank Zappa is just a rant. It's a rant. And we always call my brother, he kind of likes to get on his soapbox and rant. And so I thought, Rick, I got an idea. Just you get up, just rant. And everything's fragmented. Because he did have that title. Like, it's all fragmented and you can't get your head on straight. You know? So I gave him that. I can't get my head on straight. And then the rest of it was Rick just riffing. And at first he came in with one set of lyrics. I'm like, well, I don't know why it's me that I think, because he trusts me.
Yeah.
He didn't come in and say, this is it. We're going to do it this way. No, he said, what do you think? Because we were kind of collaborating on that song. You know, even though it was mostly coming from him, we were collaborating. And so I said, Rick, I don't think you went far enough. I think you got to go out there, have fun with these lyrics. And that's another concept we didn't have years ago. Everything was so serious back in the early days with us. You know, we're making great art, you know, and we've got this is a very serious business. And now we're like, you know, we've got to inject some fun and levity, because that makes everything play better. So if you can envision Rick singing the song with a little bit of a smile or a smirk even or something, you know, it's a little tongue in cheek. He's having fun. And so are we. So that's what that song represents to me. We had fun with it. And then Rick came up with that little that sort of Gregorian
chant thing at the beginning. Yeah.
Somebody said drunken Gregorian chant. and Marty Scott chipped in with, why don't you start the song with that? He came up with that idea. Marty Scott. Right.
And when you say Marty Scott, let's remind people that's he's the guy that hits up Gem Records.
Yes. And he likes to contribute, and we like his ideas because, you know, that guy has been in the business a long, long time. And, you know, the songs he's heard in their infancy, you know, of whoever, just amazing artists that he worked with. So we do take what he says to heart a lot and at least give it a good hearing. And we tried it, and it was like, yes, this works. It just opens the song up, boom. That's another one that goes over really well live. We debuted it on the cruise.
How much of the album did you debut on the cruise?
We did five songs. We did Soulbender, Flowers for Cynthia, Spinning the Wheel, Conquer and Divide, and Fragmented. Pretty much the whole top first half of the record.
Well, let me ask then about this. You conjure up Gene Clark there, best known as a member of the Byrds, the song Gene Clark, Broken Wing.
Mm.
Can you share how his songwriting and his story resonated with you?
Oh, sure. Well, I think the Byrds have been an inspiration to us for a long, long time. When we were teenagers, it was one of those bands that, you know, we had to dig to find their music, which is why we did the album Dig and put a song like Lady Friend on that album, which was a very hard to find single for a long, long time by the Byrds.
Yeah.
And Gene Clark, obviously, you know, Mr. Tambourine Man, he had a huge part in that band. We've always loved him just for his sincerity and sort of, he's very real, you know,
yeah.
Not a BSer at all, you know, in his music, very honest and deep. And I wrote a song and it wasn't a Gene Clark song. It was just a song I was writing and I played it back. I'm like, yeah, it kind of sounds like Gene Clark. How'd that happen? You know? And like, oh, then I think maybe Kristen would have said, like, let's call it Gene Clark. And for a while that song existed without a chorus. If you can imagine, no flying with a broken wing. The song had no chorus and we thought, well, let's do it for this album. So we started the song. It was one of the batch of three songs that we had started recording in the pandemic. And we started developing it, and it started going this other direction. And then we realized that it doesn't have a chorus. And so we Kristen and I just sort of brainstormed one day, and it just popped out, flying with a broken wing. I don't know how it happened, but there it was. And we realized Gene Clark was the bird who couldn't fly.
Yeah.
So it was meant to be somehow. And the song at that point really takes off and soars. And it was another song that took some studio work to kind of figure out what it should be. Believe it or not, it sounds so simple, but we had to break that song down and make it a little bit more acoustic. Take the drums out, bring them down. You know, not every song is going to be a basher where you're on there playing garage rock, you know, which we love. But this song we wanted to treat a little bit lighter and kind of go in that more folk rock sort of way.
Right.
So, right.
Appropriate to the material, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the inspiration, yeah.
We kind of broke that song down, and then stuff started to come, like the backwards guitar that Rick plays, the 12-string. You know, we're like, oh, yeah, 12-string back, that's so cool, you know? And Kristen plays this kind of fake pedal steel. So it's got this little country vibe, but altogether, it does kind of remind me even of Gene Clark somehow, but it's our version, and we wrote it.
Let's talk some about Kristen, because she is the lead guitarist in the album. She's your wife. Now, she is singing lead on If You Were Here. Is that her?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. And now, who does she write that tune? Did you guys write it together? Is it one you wrote? How did that one happen?
She wrote that song.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah. She was inspired. I don't know why she wrote it, but she wrote it. And to my ears, it was very... Pretenders or girl group. We were kind of thinking a little bit of Spectre, a little bit of, you know, just that sound, and having her singing it made me think of that as like a producer with quotes in the band. I thought, oh, let's go in that direction. A little tough, but tender tough, you know?
Yeah.
And we sort of took it in that direction. And I actually got to do my female vocal impression on that because I sing higher than she does. I do the harmonies with her. And everybody's like, oh, Kristen, you did all the vocals on that. I'm like, no, not exactly. But she did the main vocal. I always loved that song. She wrote it some time ago. And we looked for a home for that for a while. And it's just a melody that sticks with you. I've always loved it. And I think we had to broaden the definition of the Gripweed sound to put that song in. Because, again, years ago, we probably, well, we're too cool for this, you know, and we got to be heavy, heavy garage, you know. And then we kind of realized, what are the Gripweeds? You know, we're a reflection of all four members for one.
Yeah.
And also our musical experience, listening experience for two. And what we what kind of vibe we want to bring. And we can, you know, we can bring this kind of girl sound into our music, you know, and it's a very direct sort of pop song as well. And I liked all that about it. So I'm really glad we did it for the album.
Well, let me ask you this. I saw, I believe this was on the Book of Faces, something about there being a video in the works. Is that, can you tell us what song that would be for?
The Book of Faces, yeah. actually, that is the coolest song that we did the video for.
Oh, so for Soulbender.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's not where we're going to stop. That's the first one. We're going to make a bunch more. But we had a real kind of a concept that we were going for with that video. So hopefully it turns out it's still in the works.
So you got any upcoming gigs?
Yeah. We haven't announced anything because there's a lot of stuff in the works.
But
a lot of things are sort of percolating, and we have a bunch of shows that are coming up in September and October, from New Jersey all the way up through New Hampshire. So we've got a little Northeast swing that we're going to be doing in late September.
All right. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that. And now the other track that I'd like us to hear off the new album we'll go out with off of Soulbender is Wake Up Time. Man, that is a rocker, brother. I mean, it's just killing it. Tell me about it. Tell me about Wake Up Time.
Well, that one goes into the batch of songs that was hanging around. We're hanging around and looking for a home in the Gripweeds. And I wrote that song around the time of Strange Change Machine album, which was right before Gem Records. And I had that song, and for whatever reason, I couldn't get the band interested, probably because we already had a double album we were doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, there's no room on this double album for this, so we'll save it for later. And what can happen sometimes is some songs sort of get a little buried and get lost along the way. And then I had this idea, maybe I'll do it as a solo song. So I did that. I did it as a little solo track and put it out in a very limited way. And but I was never happy because it wasn't a Gripweed song, and I didn't get much beyond the demo stage where we could really work the song and go in and find, you know, what it could be, and especially get like Kristen and Rick on it, and Dave too.
Yeah,
get them all on there. That makes it a Gripweed song. And so I always wanted that. So finally got the opportunity when we were formulating this album, Soulbender, what songs are going to be on it. We had half the album was new, half the album was older songs that we wanted to introduce. And so that was one of them, Wake Up Time. And we started working on that song, basically just, you know, redid it, guitars, and just re sort of envisioned it to be very, very hard, you know, a real rocker. And then we went to see the Led Zeppelin documentary, and we were finishing up the album. This was like, I guess it was probably January, February of this year. This was one of the last songs we finished. We saw the Zeppelin documentary in the theater, and we were really inspired. And we're on the way home from it going, oh, I know what to do now. You know, it's a Zeppelin. That's what we need to inject this vibe, this heavy rock thing. And it crystallized right there. The next day, Kristen came on and put this guitar work on, which is on the record. And that's why we did it. We watched Zeppelin and we're totally inspired by that band again. And it just like, wow, you know, it kind of crystallized that song for me and got everybody interested in it too.
Well, Kurt, man, thank you so much for joining me again for Akuta's Conversations.
It's always a pleasure, Manfred. I love to hang out, chat with you, and even dance with you sometimes.
All right. Well, you know, now it's Wake Up Time from the Gripweeds off the new album Soulbender here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. pickup time for us at Little Steven's Underground Garage, courtesy of the Gripweeds. The tune is off their new album for Gem Records titled Soul Bender. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to member Kurt Ryle for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Muck and the Myers are a long-running contemporary 60s-style garage rock band from Boston, Massachusetts. Their latest album, Beat Revolution, is out on Dirty Water Records. And we'll find out all about the release next time around when I'm joined by frontman Evan Shore, also known as Muck. That's your next Coolest Conversations in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.